Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, February 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Time to sit down for dinner with the folks from Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The establishment offers farm-driven food with influence from all over the world. Its full bar provides an extensive list of specialty cocktails and wines. And, you know, the art of food and drink pairing is a very interesting one. And we'll talk about pairing food and drink for your very own dinner party with the restaurant's general manager and beverage director, Jeremy Kenny, as well as chef Oliver Antunes. If you have a question about combining main courses with a cocktail or wine, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Jeremy, Oliver of Rouge Restaurant, and your call's coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday. It's time to have an early dinner with the folks from Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The establishment offers farm-driven food with influence from all over the world. It's a full bar providing an extensive list of specialty cocktails and wines. Here to help you pair food and drink for your very own dinner party are the restaurant's general manager and beverage director, Jeremy Kenny, as well as chef Oliver Antunes. After receiving culinary training in Providence, Rhode Island, Jeremy joined Rouge as a bartender in 2008. Since then, Jeremy has refined Rouge's beverage offerings, now focused on high-quality spirits, handcrafted cocktails, and an extensive wine collection, including many rare and exclusive options. After graduating from the New England Culinary Institute and a local stint at Rouge, Oliver moved to France, where he honed his skills at 2- and 3-star restaurants. Oliver then moved to California wine country, where he was a sous chef. After returning to the Berkshires, Oliver joined Rouge in November 2018. Jeremy and Oliver, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you guys here. The number to call, if you have a question about pairing food and drink, the number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. That's voxpop@wamc.org, but again, the number is 800-348-2551. Where to begin? Where to begin? You know, pairing food and drink, it's a mystery to me. So we'll start that in a little bit, but first let's find out a little bit about you guys and about Rouge. I must confess, I have not been. So I don't know too much about Rouge, but tell us what it is you do.
Well, we're a lot closer than you might think, Ray. If you've ever been to Tanglewood or Jacob's Pillow.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I know where West Stockbridge is.
Oh, yeah. You drive right through it.
I don't need
time.
A triptych. I'm good.
Yep. So we're, you know, right off the thruway, right off the Mass Pike. Easy to get to. We've been in business for 17 years now. I've been on staff there for 11 years.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride, a wonderful adventure. We brought on Oliver recently, and we're starting a new evolution of the restaurant. And
what do you mean?
Oliver is bringing us in a totally new path, and we're changing the structure of the restaurant and the way that we've been doing things, and making some changes physically to the restaurant, changing our seating, our layouts. It's a wonderful adventure that we're embarking on for sure.
Well, Chef Oliver Antunes, how are you directing this, and in what direction are we going?
I think the way that the kitchen is organized in terms of what stations and really just how we're cooking, I think kind of taking it into the 21st century a little bit, because in the past it's been a little bit outdated. So I think just with my background, kind of.
You mean the facility itself or the menu?
The menu, the structure of the menu, and the cooking techniques that we're using in the kitchen.
Well, give me an example.
A good example is actually one of the dishes that I brought today, the monkfish, which we'll try in a little bit.
Huh. I've never had that.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I like to do is, you know, my background is pretty traditional, very, very classic. But the last couple of years that I spent in California was a little bit more modern, newer techniques and stuff like that in the kitchen. So I like to take a little bit of both of those backgrounds and kind of meld them together. So with this fish, we do like a light cure on it to kind of firm it up a little bit, just a quick 10 minutes. So it eats a little bit different, and just the flavor combinations in general are not. Might not be finding it at your average restaurant.
I take it you learned a great deal in France.
I did, yeah.
What was your main takeaway when you came back to the States?
Respect of ingredients, products, fresh is best, and discipline and just rigor in the kitchen.
Yeah. All right. And are you trying to transfer that? I assume that you have now hired a new staff, and I would imagine one of the tricky parts for being the head chef is transferring what you know and your philosophy to those who work for you.
It's challenging, for sure. Just, you know, staffing in general in this industry right now, especially in a region like our own, is not easy.
It's very transitional, yeah.
Very, very transitional. So I do my best to, I try and inspire the people that I work with and get them really motivated and passionate, you know, about what we're doing instead of being militant and being angry about it. We try and really enjoy ourselves in the kitchen.
Were there a lot of militant chefs over in France?
Yeah, that was the one thing that I did not want to take away from working there.
Really?
I enjoyed my time there, and I get it, and I appreciate it. And I think in my 20s, it was really great. Now with this next stage in life, you know, having family and really trying to grow, it's...
Well, fine cooking is art. And artists have notorious temperaments, artistic temperament, yeah?
That's true, yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a call, and then we'll talk about this first dish you brought and what we would pair it with as far as beverage goes. But let's take a call. Christina is in Boston. The number is 800-348-2551. Hello, Christina. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you today?
Good. You're on.
Awesome, awesome. How are you guys doing?
Well, pretty good. Could be worse.
Awesome. Hey, so I just had a kind of opinionated-based question. I'm a big seafood lover, been cooking seafood all my life, and particularly shellfish. I was wondering, like, what, in you guys' opinion, what's the best wine to pair with a nice shellfish?
Well, this is sort of the great starting question for us. We're going in a little bit of an interesting direction here with the food and the drinks that we brought today. And it's actually part of the philosophy for us in the front of houses at Rouge as well. Not always going with your typical standard pairing.
Which would be,
let's say, assuming that you'd be looking for a white wine, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily need to be a white wine that you're drinking or a still wine. You could go with something sparkling. We could pair a red with a shellfish. We could pair a cocktail with shellfish as well.
Isn't that sacrilege? I mean, would the French chefs you worked for, Oliver, say, wait, now, sacre bleu.
Sure. But there's no such thing as a bad pairing if you're drinking what you enjoy and you're eating what you enjoy. If you love oysters and you hate white wine,
yeah,
don't have white wine with oysters.
What do you think, Christina? Right. Yeah, you agree with
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more, guys.
There's no shame in drinking what you enjoy and eating what you enjoy at the same time, even if you're, you know, breaking the so-called rules of white with seafood and red with meat. We're gonna change all of those today, actually.
Well, this is exciting. Well, thank you for getting us started, Christina. We appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Today with us is General Manager and Beverage Director of Rouge, Jeremy Kenny, and Chef Oliver Antunes of Rouge in West Stockbridge. And we're talking about food and beverage pairings. So Christina said shellfish, and you said, well, red wine would be okay.
You can do whatever you want.
Would the staff look askance at Christina if she...
Perhaps, but
yeah.
It doesn't mean she's wrong.
Okay. All right. What about a nice ice cold beer with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
If
you're in the mood for a nice cold beer, you enjoy a nice cold beer? Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about this monkfish, something that just the name alone inspires terror in me. But tell me about this.
Monkfish, yeah, it's not the most common thing that you're probably not going to find that at your local grocer.
Yeah.
Maybe at this time of year it is peak season. For monkfish, it's kind of it's a very ugly fish.
Yeah.
It's very, very ugly.
Don't Google it.
It doesn't look too ugly there on the plate.
Yeah, if you Google search it, it's not the prettiest thing.
Really?
So basically all what we're eating out of the monkfish is really like the tail. That's really all that's available because it's one basically a giant head and a tail. And it's different than most fish in the sense that it's extremely meaty and it can handle very, very strong flavors, which is why we throw it on the grill. And as it's grilling, we kind of go slow with it and we're basting it with a grilled kombu butter to infuse the flavor and add some fat to it.
Yeah.
It is a little it's a leaner fish.
Is it a strong fishy fish?
Not at all.
Good.
It's very, very mild.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to try that. Tell you what, why don't we take a break? I'll try a bite. It's very tough for me to talk and chew at the same time. It's not exactly great radio, although
That's fair.
It's been done. 800-348-2551. If you want to know how to pair drink and food for your next dinner party, if you're the party-giving kind of person, or maybe you'll attend one and you'd like to offer some suggestions, hosts love that. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Who knew that I would love monkfish? This is a revelation here on a Food Friday. We are here with the folks from Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. General Manager and Beverage Director Jeremy Kenny is here, and Chef Oliver Antunes is here. And I got to tell you, Oliver, I like monkfish. This is good. Tell us about this dish once again.
Sure.
And then it'll give me a chance to chew a little bit. Go ahead.
So monkfish is grilled, basted during the grilling with a little brown butter and kombu. On the bottom, we have poached...
What is kombu?
Kombu is a seaweed. It's a dried seaweed.
You're kidding me.
It's a very strong umami flavor. That's the reason that we put it in there. We kind of make almost like a... kind of inspired by a like a Japanese dashi, if you will.
Now, is the seafood just sort of... it's dredged up when you catch the monkfish? Just a joke. Go ahead. Continue.
So sunchokes that are poached in the sauce, which is the sun bonito and kombu broth, and some scallions, great, really, really fresh olive oil, shiitake mushrooms, and for a little bit of bite, we add some sunchoke chips.
This is one of the nice, it is a mild but flavorful seafood dish, and this is one I would definitely order.
Thank you.
That's beautiful work.
It's very approachable.
Thank you. All right.
The texture is very different than what you might expect if you were looking at, you know, a loin of a white fish. There's a meaty texture to it for sure.
Very satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the butter, of course, is really it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. You know, now I'll have to look up the monkfish later and say, geez, I ate that. What? All right, Jeremy, what about pairing this?
So we're going to do, as you say, this sacrilegious thing, and we're going to pair a red with this.
Okay, what are we drinking?
In front of. This is a 2016 Las Alturas vineyard from Belle Glosse. It's a single vineyard producer in California. They produce three different single vineyard Pinot Noirs. Looking at this in the glass might not seem like a Pinot Noir.
No, it's very full-bodied for sure. Yeah.
There's a richness to this that you might not necessarily find in others. It's from Monterey County, so a colder climate. They have warmer afternoons, though, which creates a nice balance between that richness and the acidity and a touch of sweetness at the end of the wine. Specifically for the texture of this fish, there's a steak-like, like a red meat-like texture
exactly.
for the fish. All of these things work together, and although you could pair this with white, if you don't enjoy white, what we can offer you is something else. We can do a red. We could do a cocktail with it as well. But
I'm not sure that this red would go good with something like a flaky, like a swordfish or
very
something.
Very much
like.
Not, no.
But this, however, you're right, has a steak-like quality to it, and it's a good combination.
Well, thank you.
You know, you're thinking outside the box, Jeremy.
Exactly.
Let's take another call, 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts is the place, and the people are Jeremy Kenny, who is General Manager and Beverage Director, and Chef Oliver Antunes. Let's go to Larry in Saugerties. Larry, you're on.
Hi there. My question involves how one infuses a fish dish, and it could be monkfish or it could be shrimp, with a garlicky flavor. I put loads of garlic in sometimes, and it just doesn't come out like I've had it before. So can you have any hints?
Yeah, I think that there would be a couple different ways to do it, but my first go-to would be basting. What I was talking about earlier, right now we're doing a kombu and butter, so you could do either an oil, like a garlic oil, or garlic infused into a butter and baste with that throughout the cooking time. I think that would help a lot. And then even once it's off the grill, give it a couple brushes, and I think you'll have your garlic flavor.
Uh-huh. Okay. You don't think any, like, adding acidity or lemon or anything like that would enhance it?
I would always add some acidity to your seafood. I don't think that it would enhance the garlic flavor, though, no.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry. We appreciate the call. It's Food Friday, and our guests today, Jeremy Kenny and Oliver Antunes of Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The overarching theme of today's program is pairing food and drink for your very own dinner party or whenever. Maybe you're making a nice dinner at home just for doing it. So 800-348-2551. A traditional pairing with this monkfish would be Chablis or something?
Sure, yeah. A nice glass of Chardonnay. Yeah. Absolutely. If you wanted to go white, but you need something with some depth and structure to balance the rich flavors of this this particular dish, for sure. There's so much umami in this, so much, you know, mouthfeel and texture to the dish, too, that you need something that will help go along with that.
Is this a popular one at the restaurant?
It is, actually. This is a new one. We just put it on last week, and mm-hmm. I think we were – actually, I ordered the fish, and I purchased it, and then I talked to Jeremy about it, and he made this face like it's not a good seller. Like,
this
the guests
is,
don't
this
like
is,
it.
This is my point. Yeah. I would never think to order it, and sure. Now you guys have educated me. Now, can you educate the public without seeming like a French chef? Domineering and looking with an arched eyebrow at your at your crowd.
Yeah, you know, just – like what happened last Friday, just come in and taste it. And I think the fish and the whole dish kind of speaks for itself.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number on a Food Friday. And Mike in New Windsor. Mike.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Nice to have you.
How are we doing?
Yeah. Monkfish, we call it, we eat it a lot, and it's called the poor man's lobster.
Yeah.
And it really can be served. And paired also with, I'm not a wealthy person, so my wines are usually red table wines, most of the time Sicilians. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we have fish, the red table wines, we chill.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It does enhance the flavor of some fish.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
And there's a lot of acidity in those wines as well. Most Italians in general, a lot of acidity in those wines, and that definitely helps balance the meaty structure of this fish. Yeah, it's a good call.
Yeah, when I grew up... Yeah, my family's half Italian, and we made our own wines and stuff. So really, the wines that we had, you couldn't even see through. But you couldn't. They didn't filter anything. But yeah. It was great. Even as kids, 10-year-old kids, we'd have a little glass of wine.
Well, you got to have a sip when you're sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I went to a fish presentation up at the culinary, and one of the guys there was from Kendall Jackson, and he said to me, "You know, all wines," he said. Every bottle of wine doesn't cost any more than $1.75 to produce. And he says, keep that in mind. He says, wines are sold because of their taste and their flavors and whatever else. But he said, really, a bottle of wine doesn't cost any more than $1.75. So I always kept that in the back of my mind when I have something, you know, it's a personal, like a lot of times with fish or with Italian, I like a Riesling because I like a little sweetness.
Sure, yeah.
So it's a personal choice.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Have a great weekend. Interesting that he said that this is the poor man's lobster. You do get just the essence of a lobster kind
absolutely.
Of texture.
And that texture, absolutely.
But
yeah.
The taste, I think, is more mild. Actually, I think I prefer this to lobster.
I agree. Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We are here with Chef Oliver Antunes and GM and Beverage Director Jeremy Kenny of Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge. We'll go over to Tom in North Adams. Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How are we doing, Tom?
So, talking about the monkfish.
Oh, yeah.
I used to catch those for a living.
Yeah. How big do they get?
They can get pretty big.
Yeah.
I probably caught one that was close to, I don't know, 10 pounds.
It's pretty big. Are they that
yeah.
ugly, Tom? These guys say it's a pretty
ugly. They are that ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ugly.
You cut their heads off, and you can also, I believe you can make a soup out of the livers.
Yeah, that's actually, wow. So you can also, what's been done in the past, they do it in Japan as well, is you can actually... You can turn it into like a seafood foie gras, actually.
Huh.
It's a super, super
yeah.
fatty, especially at this time of year after they've bulked up on weight. Yeah, it's really, really good liver.
Yep, I've had it. I mean, the soup, but.
Where did you go? When you went out to catch them for a living, where were you fishing?
Out of Point Judith, Rhode Island, in Narragansett.
Nice, nice. Well, thanks
for 14 years.
And now you're a landlubber?
Yeah, back Move back to the Berkshires.
All right, man. Well, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Food Friday. The guys from Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge are here. All right, well, what else did you bring today?
So where should we start? We have just a quick little snack over here is fresh potato chips, creme fraiche, and trout roe.
This?
These two right here.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, that doesn't look like potato chips. These look like potato chips.
That's our chips and dip.
With creme fraiche?
Yeah.
And roe. Oh, I'll be darned. That's a beautiful presentation. I can't really chew them on the air, but I'll have some in a minute here. What else did you bring?
We got a couple of salads, just super, super seasonal stuff right now.
I love the looks of this one.
So this right here, this is kohlrabi, apple, and persimmon with a aged balsamic, a little bit of mint, horseradish, and toasted almonds.
Beautiful array of colors in this, and it's a really nice-looking dish. I probably couldn't pick one thing out and say, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Until you told me. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
As far as the visual presentation goes, how far along do you have to be as a chef before you start getting a good handle on what looks good?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, that's the last thing that I think about when I'm...
But it's important, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it needs to look appetizing, for sure. But, you know, it's a little hard on the cooks, but I actually change the plate ups at the restaurant on a daily basis. One day I'm feeling like this, and then I'll just change it, or something will pop in my head. As long as it eats well and it makes sense and it's practical, I really don't put a whole lot of thought into it, actually.
I think it might be subconscious, though, also. I'll tell you, when Oliver first came on board, we had a wonderful experience of him working in each station in the kitchen and going through the menu that we currently had, and... it would take a couple of times, but he'd eventually sort of put his hands on a dish and it would come out of the kitchen and it would be something just at a new level from, even if the ingredients were the same, the presentation and what was coming out was just at a different level than we had been at. And it was such a wonderful thing to see just this sort of snap that happened with each of the dishes and how they sort of just started to glow. It was really cool to see.
The Japanese say wabi-sabi, which means organized disorganization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It kind of looks like a mess, but everything is intentional.
My gosh, that's the story of my career. That's unbelievable. Jeremy Kenny is here, and Oliver Antunes from Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It's a Food Friday, and we talk about food and drink pairing. All right, you brought potato chips with creme fraiche and roe. What are you going to pair with that besides a beer?
So this is a tricky one. Beer is always a great way to go. Actually, even if you're not eating, beer is a great way to go.
Agreed.
So creme fraiche, things with cream in general, generally sort of difficult to pair with.
Yeah.
The classics for something like this would be more along the lines of a Riesling, a Sauternes, something like that, a cream sherry, believe it or not.
Mm.
Not necessarily my cup of tea. But there's a richness and a brininess to this dish in particular, especially with the salt of the potato chips, that requires a little bit of sweetness to balance, for sure. And so we have brought, we can call it a cucumber royale, sort of a take on a classic cocktail, but this is...
That's a good-looking beverage right
yes,
there.
Yes, indeed. It's pretty, for sure. It's a sparkling wine, so cava, produced in Spain, and we have mixed it with an organic cucumber liqueur from a producer called Thatcher's. They make more of a cucumber essence instead of a syrup. It's a very elegant cucumber flavor.
And not
to
too
it.
Sweet. Beautiful.
Not too sweet. Yeah. But once you take a little bite of those chips and dip, it's a nice nice contrast and a nice way to go about it.
I love that.
Well, thank you.
Now, would I eat the cucumber at the end?
Sure.
You really?
Go for it. Yeah.
Would a normal person do that?
I would.
Yeah?
Whether I'm normal or not, I would. Absolutely. Garnish should be eaten. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So like an olive in a martini.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely go for it.
Otherwise, don't put it in there.
All right. Yeah. Feel free to eat. I mean, I can't really chew potato chips and do this while we're on the air, but I will certainly try it in a moment. This is a beautiful presentation too, Oliver, and I know it's sort of the last thing you think about, but it looks good.
Thank you.
What is it?
This is our endive salad. So endives with a orange juice vinaigrette. We have some blood oranges on there, heirloom navel orange, a little bit of pecorino sardo tossed in with the endive, mm-hmm. tarragon, some toasted pumpkin seeds, and that's about it.
Interesting. Toasted pumpkin seeds.
Toasted pumpkin seeds.
Is that a common thing for this sort of a salad?
You know what? Originally, we were doing walnuts because walnuts is a very classic pairing with endive. And one day we were sitting on some pepita, some pumpkin seeds, and we tried it out, and it's fantastic, and we just kind of rolled with it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it worked out.
Number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question, a delicate question about pairing food and drink, we have experts here today, Chef Oliver Antunes and Beverage Director Jeremy Kenny. Jeremy, you have been in the beverage game for some time.
A little while, yeah.
Tastes have changed a bit over
Absolutely,
the last 10 years.
For sure. It's been an interesting interesting evolution to see behind the bar, for sure. Classic cocktails, what used to be classic, is now classic again.
And that's a good thing.
Sure, absolutely. Not necessarily for all of them, but for a lot of them. Yeah, we've definitely headed.
What do you mean? No, hold it. What one, like a zombie? What do you not like to make?
I'd be okay with not making mudslides anymore. You know.
Oh, people really drink those still?
You'd believe it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, we're heading more towards high-end spirits, ultimately craft productions, small batch gins, tequilas and mezcals. Bourbon is off the charts. It's always a go-to,
and the
for
price
sure.
keeps going up on bourbon. I've been drinking bourbon for decades.
Yeah, so it's an inventory thing ultimately, and it comes down to the fact that a lot of these bourbons are aged for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
Yeah.
There's a huge investment that goes into doing that, and if you have a certain number of barrels that you've produced, and you're trying out a bourbon for, let's say, an 8-year age, once you have that inventory and it goes on shelf, there's going to be demand for it, and if you can't produce enough, I mean, you need to. You know, make up for whatever you've lost before. So,
yeah,
there's a science behind it for sure. I'm luckily not in the pricing game.
Well, but, you're lucky because the Berkshire Mountain guys,
yep.
they make
yep.
a couple of good bourbons
they sure do.
And some great gin and
absolutely
very
yeah.
good stuff.
There's a bunch of local distillers as well. Yeah, Hill Rock out in Ankrum, they're doing some beautiful, beautiful whiskeys for sure.
I don't think I've had those.
Yeah, they're hard to find, but they're lovely for sure.
What's the most popular drink now at the bar?
That's a tough one.
Don't say mudslide.
No. I'm going to say something along the lines of a Manhattan or a variation thereof. Bourbon drinks, for sure, are a hit.
So you'll make a bourbon Manhattan?
Absolutely.
See,
yeah.
when I make a Manhattan, I usually use rye.
Yeah, sure. Classic, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a wonderful rye selection, a wonderful bourbon selection as well, so it's sort of hard to pick and choose ultimately. But people do have a specific flavor profile that they look for. You get the heat from a rye, and we actually have a rye-based cocktail here that you'll try in a little while.
Ooh.
But the heat from a rye and that spice is not necessarily what everyone wants. Some people want something a little darker, more caramelly, a little rounder. You'd go towards a bourbon there. And, of course, it depends on what you're mixing with it. But.
And do people stop drinking the gin? At Labor Day?
No.
No, they mm-hmm. don't, do they?
I can't keep it on the shelf, yeah.
Are you one of those people who says, you know, hey, listen, after Labor Day, cut it out now?
No. I think there's always a time and place for every beverage, ultimately. We do some more refreshing winter gin cocktails, funky gin and tonics
like
with smoked rosemary.
Oh, really?
And yeah, absolutely. You can add a sort of warmer quality to it.
Now, are you a London gin person, or are you
I'm one of the
foofy,
more esoteric gins, yeah.
I can't go for that.
Yeah, they're intense florals. For sure. My go-to spirit, though, is tequila, ultimately.
Really?
Tequila or bourbon. Yeah.
And that, of course, there's a craft craze in tequila as
yeah.
well. And I must confess, that's something that I haven't really tapped into.
It's worth exploring, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting, too, because although we say it's a craft craze, there's these enormous brands. I mean, everyone's heard about George Clooney's tequila, Casamigos.
Any good?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Their Añejo is a particular favorite of mine. You know, it's pricey stuff once you get into tequilas of that quality, ultimately.
Is it worth it?
That depends yeah. on how much you want that drink.
All right, that's a very diplomatic answer and a good time to take a break. Chef Oliver Antunes and Jeremy Kenny are here from Rouge Restaurant. We talk about food pairing with drinks, and we'll have some food and some drinks coming up on the show. Food Friday on WAMC, 800-348-2551 is the number. Ray Graff with you, and we're joined today by Jeremy Kenny and Chef Oliver Antunes of Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Got to say, fellas, the food is great. The drinks are great. The salad is really, I don't know if I'd call it a salad, but I know you chefs would call it a salad. Tell us again what's in it. It's beautiful.
So the kohlrabi, a kohlrabi, fresh persimmons and Granny Smith apples with aged balsamic vinegar, toasted almonds, horseradish, and a little bit of mint.
And this would be an appetizer?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that'd be a great shared plate, or yeah, just for as an appetizer, yeah.
Yeah. And the other salad is another beautiful thing. And you have a drink here that would go with that.
Yeah, we're going to, I mean, we can pair this one with both. This is a tequila-based cocktail. It's a pretty light one, a refreshing
one. Is this the Clooney
one.
Tequila?
This is not the Clooney tequila.
So you get the bottom shelf for the radio host. Obviously. Good plan. Yeah, that's a good, great idea.
This is a take on a cocktail that we do called a Oaxacan cocktail. That's mezcal-based. We did this one in tequila. The mezcal is a little bit too smoky and rich for what we're doing here. But this is tequila, a prickly pear liqueur, some fresh lime juice, a touch of agave nectar, and then a top of just a splash of ginger beer and some club soda.
Mm.
It's bright, it's lively, it's fresh.
It's light.
It's light. The citrus and the sweetness go, they match up well with the pop of the pomegranates here on the endive and the blood orange in that salad and the persimmon as well in the kohlrabi.
I'm not sure I've ever seen in a liquor store a prickly pear liqueur. Where do you find this stuff?
So there's a company, same with this cucumber liqueur that we did, a company called Thatcher's. Again, it's all organic, all natural. They produce a prickly pear liqueur, which came to my attention just a couple of months ago. And it's a really fun spirit to play around with, for sure.
What else would you do with it?
Well, we did a New Year's Eve cocktail with it as well, with, believe it or not, Pop Rocks along the rim. That was our New Year's Eve firework cocktail.
Oh, good heavens.
A variation every year. Yeah, so Oliver had the same response until he tried one.
Yeah, it was all right?
It was all right. It was good.
It was exciting.
It's different.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to work with, but so prickly pear is the fruit from a specific cactus.
Yeah.
And take cactus and cactus, put it together. You've got the agave nectar, anything with tequila, prickly pear, and things that, you know, grow together, go together. So
was this your invention?
Yes.
This is pretty good, man.
Thank you.
This has legs, I think.
It does, yeah.
This might last.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, is it light because it sat and the ice melted a bit?
No, it's light because we add some ginger beer and some club soda to it. It's a club soda especially, but ginger beer here with
love
lighter
the hint
spirits.
Of ginger beer.
Yeah, exactly. A nice little fresh bite there. And it does, instead of having something that's just based in spirit, you can add, a couple mixers like this. We use Fever Tree ginger beer, which is, as far as I'm
great.
Concerned, one of the best for sure.
Yeah.
It's spicy and it's rich in flavor and not too sweet.
Love a good ginger beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that sort of made a comeback.
Absolutely, yeah. We do a whole series of cocktails, Bucks and Mules, as they're called. So we're going back to the 1950s with those. These cocktails are back in style for sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I think it's also because of the coming onto the market, these wonderful ginger beers that we have, like Fever Tree. It's a different palate than, say, Gosling's or Stoli ginger beer or something. It's not a ginger soda so much, not syrupy. Sweet.
Right. Well, now, what do you call this drink?
This would be a Jalisco cocktail.
I really like it.
Thank you.
I think you got something here. Do people ever order an old-fashioned anymore?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Actually, one of Oliver's favorite cocktails that we do is a blood orange old-fashioned.
Oh, really? Explain.
So we use a old-fashioned based, a little bit of sugar, some bitters, a splash of water, your spirit of choice. You could do bourbon, you could do rye, any kind of whiskey you want. And we do one which sort of mimics that sweetness and bitter with a blood orange liqueur instead of the bitters and the sugar.
But only a little, right?
Exactly, a splash. But it gives you that tinge of citrus, a little bit of sweetness, and we use a Rough Rider bourbon. It's a lighter bourbon, so it comes in at, I think, 43% as opposed to some of the hotter ones that are on the shelf
now.
So
nice 86 proof.
Yes,
bourbon.
Exactly. Drinkable, for sure. It works in a cocktail. It's approachable. Yeah, that's a specialty of ours that we do. Really nice.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The folks from Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge are here. Jeremy Kenny is general manager and beverage director. Chef Oliver Antunes is here. Now, going back to this drink, which is rapidly becoming a favorite, what meat? You say it goes well with salad, but what would be a good meat dish that I could swill these with?
So I would beef this up a little bit, maybe cut back on the club soda and the ginger beer. And honestly, I would throw a little bit of spice into the mix.
Yeah.
We do a, so we could do this cocktail. We do a house infusion of jalapenos in tequila. And that's one of our best-selling drinks as well. We do a couple of cocktails with it. But add some spice to this, and you get the spice and the heat together.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the spice and the fruity sweetness together. Anything that goes on the grill.
So a steak.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A nice New York strip steak.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hot dogs, burgers, charred chicken, whatever you want to do. Anything that's got some smoke to it. Some crispness, some darkness and flavor.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Chef, again, I have not been to Rouge. Walk us through your menu as it stands now.
Yeah,
then we'll get
course.
Back to the phones.
So actually, here's a copy if you want
to read the whole thing.
No, I won't.
Right. Well, you need to make your choices for when you come visit.
Okay. Well, it may be a while. okay.
So just kind of going down, you know, start from the top. We just, starting with all of our small plates, these are kind of just tapas, snack size dishes, and then we have our seafood options just for starters, and then it's just soups, salads, more small plates.
So you have the grilled monkfish, you have seared duck breast.
Yep.
As this has evolved, how long have you been at Rouge since you've come back?
It's been, what, 2 months?
It's November. So
3 months almost.
Yep. Yeah, and how much of a turnover in the menu has it been since you've been in charge?
90%.
90%.
Okay. Yeah.
And
there's,
has...
Yeah, there's a couple of staples that I have not, that are favorites that I have not really
And it does, I mean, it
all.
Does change every day, right? Not every item, obviously, but there are, you know, adjustments that are done based on what product we're able to get in. We work with as local vendors as we can. The seafood options that we get from our provider out in Boston, it depends on, you know, what we're able to bring in. And
yeah.
I guess my question
that
is,
changes the game.
Has it been a learning curve for the clientele?
I think so, yeah.
Absolutely.
And we did it pretty slowly. I was nervous about it, just going from what it was to what it is now.
Yeah.
We did it pretty gradual over a period of a couple weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, my front of house staff also is, they're just... They're so great. They've been along for the ride, and everyone's really excited about.
What do you mean, been along for the ride? Do they do anything?
Well, yeah, you know, it's been a huge change since Oliver's been on board, and it's been a really adventurous one for us with where the food is going and how everything's being done, and for them to be able to present that at table and be excited about what they're serving and what we're offering and be able to stand behind every dish 100% that's huge. You know,
I guess I never thought about the psychology of that, how the change of a chef can affect how the front end portrays dishes and does their job. Never thought of that.
Yeah, and that excitement that we have is, I mean, it's wonderful. And the fact that we do change the menu on a daily basis really keeps us on our toes. And although there's a lot of memorization and things that we need to be aware of, it's fun. It makes it fun.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk about pairing food and drink. Let's go to Donna in Avril Park. Donna, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been going to Rue on and off for years. I live in New York, so I don't get there as often. But listening to this program, I definitely want to get back there again. My question is, I want to make a whole roasted cauliflower, and I love curry.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what would be nice to pair with the curry on top of the cauliflower.
Well, that's interesting. What goes with curry as far as a beverage?
Sure. Here's the thing. And when we're at table, ultimately, if you say, what should I be drinking? We bring the question right back to you. What do you enjoy? Do you enjoy spirits, cocktails, beer, white wine, red wine? What's your usual go-to?
Wine.
Say it again, Donna.
White wine.
White wine. Sure. So curry, very flavorful, lots of power. You want something that's rich and that can stand up to it. When you drink white wine, what do you usually drink?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Sure. Okay. Roasted cauliflower. What are you going to do with the cauliflower?
Well, if you have suggestions of other spices to mix with the cauliflower, I put it on top. The last time I made it, I mixed mandarin oranges with the curry.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
That's interesting, yeah.
Very cool. Go ahead, sorry.
So whatever you might suggest both to mix with the curry and to drink with the cauliflower would be wonderful.
Got okay. it. So if you're looking for a white, I just came across a pretty fun blend actually from South Africa. And this is a blend of Viognier, which is an original grape to the Rhône region in France. It's a blend of Viognier and Marsan.
Viognier,
exactly. So Viognier is generally, I mean, you can find it from Napa. You can there's a more high-end ones, but from France, from the Rhône Valley, several other places producing as well. But it's a wine that has structure and strength to it for sure for a white. It does cover the gamut in terms of its acidity levels and sweetness across the board. So it depends on what you're looking for. But that's always a go-to for me. Viognier is a wonderful food wine for sure. Can pair with many different things and strong flavors as well, like the curry. I do think that Oliver has a little, or at least should inject something here about charred cauliflower. We have a really cool dish on the menu at the moment, actually.
Yeah, so, I mean, with cauliflower, especially if you're going to be roasting it whole, it can really stand up to some very, very high heat, really get some color on it, and that'll, the bitterness from the char, that'll help balance out the sweetness of the actual vegetable itself, and it'll go great with curry. Add a little bit of fat to it, preferably butter. And maybe some fresh herbs, and I would stop there. Don't overcomplicate it. Maybe a little bit of toasted almond or hazelnut or something like that on top would be delicious, but I wouldn't go any more than that. Keep it simple.
Sounds delicious. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna. Have a great weekend. We appreciate the call. Number is 800-348-2551. It is Food Friday, and we're here with Jeremy Kenny and Oliver Antunes of Rouge Restaurant in West Stockbridge. Some interesting items on this menu. The house-cut truffle fries? Really?
Indeed. A favorite, yep.
A long-time favorite, or is this a new thing?
Long-time favorite.
Long-time favorite, for sure.
And you got oysters, calamari, mussels, pretty good. Also an appetizer, I assume.
A healthy portioned appetizer. Many people order it as an entree after one of the snacks or a salad. They'll do that and then follow it up
with
mussels.
And this is not seasonal stuff? You can get this all year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even months with the R in them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That rule about oysters is...
it's not true?
Whether it's true or not, it's not a problem anymore.
Okay.
Our local purveyor brings us oysters right off the coast.
You know, Jeremy, you're breaking down barriers here.
I am
here
to break
red wine with fish and...
I am here to break the rules.
All right, man. Let's go back to the phones. Aaron in East Bern. Aaron, you're on.
Hello. I'm calling from Helder Herdwick Farm, and we raise Herdwick lamb. I was wondering what you would suggest to serve as wine as well as side dishes with it.
What are we thinking of doing with the lamb?
Advising our customers various roasts, leg, rib.
Sure. So cooking method is oftentimes one thing that definitely comes into mind in the beginning when thinking about a pairing. The way that you cook a dish can dramatically change, obviously, the flavor profile of it. If you take a protein and grill it versus oven roast it or braise it, things will be very different. Let's say you're going to be doing some grilling, something with a darker flavor to it. I would honestly direct you to something with some spice to it. If you're going to be doing a red wine, something Sangiovese-based, something fun from the Chianti region is always a great way to go. Super Tuscans, there's some really nice affordable ones now that are a great blend of Cabernet, Sangiovese, things like that. Always a fun way to go. Red works really well. We could find some funky whites to pair too, some richer ones, darker ones.
Okay.
I'm a fan of bourbon.
Yeah. Bourbon. Oh, I'm a fan of, in fact, you have some there.
I do,
let's
absolutely.
Have some. We only have 5 minutes left here.
Okay. you could do a fantastic bourbon cocktail with some lamb, depending on how you're going to be cooking.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, thanks a lot for the call, and we appreciate it very much. All right, let's get to the bourbon. And I see some dessert of some kind over there, too.
Yes, some sweets.
This is great. Now we're getting down to it. Now, listen, while you're doing that, I see crispy Brussels sprouts on the menu.
Yes.
I'm a noted Brussels sprouts hater.
Are not your mama's Brussels sprouts.
All right, well, next time you're on the show, you're going to have to sell me on this.
We'll bring some of those next time.
Mushroom puree, roasted spiced walnuts, Iberico lardo, which is a... I don't know what it is, but it sounds like a pejorative. Tell us about that dish.
Yeah, of course. That's one of the popular ones. Though crispy Brussels sprouts is pretty straightforward. We clean them up. We quarter them. We drop them in a very, very hot fryolator for about a minute and a half.
Okay.
Not charred, but a little bit of color, and they kind of open up a little bit, and they get nice and crispy.
Yeah.
The mushroom puree that we just use, little button mushrooms with a little bit of chicken stock, some...
Well, that sounds good.
Some olive oil and cream. That's it.
Yeah.
And toasted walnuts, Iberico lardo. That's just Iberico ham. So it's very, very flavorful. They're fed on primarily acorns that we just shave very, very thin and kind of melt it over the... over the Brussels sprouts after they come out.
Well, that's going to be my new stage name, by the way, Iberico Lardo. All right, so let's try the dessert. Let's have a drink, a final toast here, and then we'll wrap it up with you guys.
Cheers.
What are we drinking?
So this is a barrel-aged cocktail that we do in-house now. I've got a 10-liter oak barrel, and this has been sitting in barrel since November of last year.
Okay.
So it's got some months sitting in there. It's a cocktail called Vieux Carré. It's based in, this is a traditional cocktail from the 1930s, originally produced at the Hotel Montalone in New Orleans.
Okay. Delicious.
Wonderful cocktail for sure. So this is based in, we use Whipsaw Rye Whiskey. It's a relatively new brand. Hein VSOP Cognac, Benedictine, pretty herbaceous liqueur, aromatic bitters, and a really rich, dark, robust, sweet vermouth called Punte Mace. And it's really been fun for me. This is the first barrel-aged cocktail that I've done. It's really been fun for me to see the evolution, and Oliver's been along the way to taste as well from day one, how it's changed in barrel over the last couple of months. It's amazing.
So let me get this straight. You put all the ingredients into a barrel.
I batch the cocktail together, put it in a big bucket, and then funnel it into a barrel.
Into an oak barrel.
Absolutely.
I've never heard of this before.
No, it's spectacular. We're doing a couple other ones now. I'm doing a vanilla-infused bourbon at the moment, and we're working on a third one to come up as well.
But well, I got to tell you, this was great. We didn't really get to the dessert. We're about out of time here. So tell us what it is, and then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, real quick. So it's a dark chocolate fudge brownie with a little bit of dried cherries, a chestnut mascarpone cream.
Oh, my gosh.
Cocoa nibs, cocoa nib broth. And just some raw shaved, or I'm sorry, grated chestnuts.
All right, next time we start with the dessert.
That's it.
All right, guys, how do people find out about Rouge Restaurant?
We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we are at rougerestaurant.com. That's the easiest way. We do update the menu there every day. Easy access to career information, to our menu, to events that we're doing, all of it.
All right, well, this was fun, and we really appreciate you guys making the 45-minute trip out here to our Albany studios. Jeremy Kenny and Oliver Antunes of Rouge Restaurant, thanks for being here. Support comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts, handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com. The Family Birthplace at Fairview Hospital in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering a collaborative obstetrician, nurse midwifery model of childbirth in a holistic, medically supported environment, BerkshireHealthSystems.org/family-birthplace at Fairview. At 20 Railroad Public House, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, seasonally inspired pub fare, now offering traditional wood-fired Neapolitan pizza, catering menu and hours, 20railroad.com. Well, thanks again to Jeremy Kenny and Oliver Antunes of Rouge for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took the calls. Our producer, the affable Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks for being with us all week long on Vox Pop. Now remember, on Monday, the WAMC Fun Drive begins at 6 a.m. with Alan's monologue. So be tuned in at 5:58 for that one. Right now, stand by for news.